So if we get all of those reasonable efforts include for lawyers that have been issued by just the American Bar Association's formal opinions in the last 5 years, right? We have these like ways to kind of bunch them. And the problem for me, well, so I like buckets, right? Like I like frameworks. So I kind of lump these under Pickerel, which is the SANS Institute of like incident response, right? So one of the things we do in incident response, which is part of my remit at where I work, is to prepare and then to identify and then to contain, to eradicate, to recover, and then to learn lessons or lessons learned. But I like to keep it kind of where we're like using directives. And this is better, I think, than like another framework that's really close, which is the NIST, the Open Government Standards, because they collapse contain, eradicate, recover into all the same step. And this, I think, helps for like, especially those non-technical folk, but even the technical folk, to be like, you got to close the door. You haven't contained, right? Rather than like meshing them all together. So essentially the problem is like, we're not chief information security officers or CISOs, right? Like even my friends in technology don't do this perfectly or quickly, right? And so the American Bar Association's last 5 years of opinions saying reasonable efforts are, a reasonable lawyer must, reasonable attorneys shall, becomes really unreasonable in the context of like not understanding your data, not understanding why your data is there, and really not kind of doing that like a forethought thinking. So how can data governance help? I'm so glad you guys asked. And I meant to set a timer. Okay, I have 14 minutes, so I'll start going a little more quickly. So for me, this is what data governance means. It's not my corporate institution's definition. It's not my parent company's definition. Cool. So in my mind, the benefit of data governance is, and the hard part, is really that first. Like we need to think about why we want to have the data. We need to think about like, what is that minimum record? What is that minimum account? What is that minimum experience or whatever that we need in order for this to be successful? And then we need to actually like do the work, and often it's not lawyers, right? It's our like technology teams or it's our software that we're purchasing that has the standards that we expect for ourselves that we can communicate and represent back. Like we can make this something part of our brand and our institutions that enable us to like have some value out of data. And value is going to mean different things to different groups, to different institutions, to different people. For me, like as a nervous lawyer, right, it might be like reducing risks, right, because we're all talking the same language. In InfoSec, it might be like, you know, reducing the blast radius. For a lot of us, it might just be like not having as many data brawls. That account means this or account means that, right? Because that happens a lot and it's problematic, like deeply problematic. So now I have three slides that are all kind of in triplicate and I'll go pretty quickly. We have this idea at a company that I know that we use tenets, right? And so tenets are sort of like the way we write down how we do stuff. Not what we do, we obsess over customers or whatever, but like how we do things. And so it sucks that it's not perfect, but that's all right. The idea for my tenants, like kind of my North Star, which is that bottom star underneath the Big Dipper, is that we have like six things. So we implement proactive data governance practices in order to like spare downstream remedial efforts. That's like the first thing, right? Like by doing this now in 2022, you save yourself some time next quarter, 2023, 2024. We partner and collaborate with folks in the process. So there's this idea that like it's really scary to be a data custodian or a data steward, but anyone who like in the moment says, I don't trust that data, that's not right. That person is your partner in being a data steward in that moment. Because he or she or they is identifying where there might be a problem. So that's the second tenet. The third is that, like, we respect what came before. A lot of us probably have some legacy software in our environments. And for things that work, right, like, we can learn from them, even if those processes are manual. The fourth is that this process is iterative, right? Like, it really is a process that we do every now and again. We sort of think, like, oh, is this working? And then we fix what is or is not. And then that people and processes matter so much more than technology in this space, because you can just slop software on top of, like, legacy systems, and they're actually, it's not going to automate or improve anything. You're building on top of sand. It's no bueno. And then finally, like, data minimization, which is controversial in big data land, it reduces financial, operational, regulatory risks and burdens. So for value, I'll just explain briefly that self-efficacy is this idea that you can do things, and that by participating in this a little bit and by measuring it, you think more that you can do it, and you're more successful. And so if you guys are interested in, like, the value portions of data governance, I'd direct you to lines 39 through 122. And that will also speak to, like, business enablement there as well. And for modeling, right, like, that's where we'll move next. This idea that you can externalize what's going inside in here, your information, and make it data, and then you can share it with folks like I'm doing with y'all and Appendix B to say, like, is this right? Does this sound like it's true? How can we improve it? How can we optimize upon it?